He watched as Creel's acolytes actively promoted what they dubbed the Wilson Cult. He approved of the oppression of dissidents and heartily celebrated the passage of the Sedition and Espionage Acts. He sent a letter congratulating a U.S. district attorney who had successfully won a case against four socialists who distributed anti-war publications. In speeches, he inveighed against slackers who failed to buy Liberty Bonds or fully support the war. After the Great War, the country slowly regained its sanity. But many liberals remained enamored of war socialism, believing that a peacetime militarization of the society was still necessary. Daniels, partly out of a desire to scare the country into ratifying the Treaty of Versailles, warned that America might need to become a super Prussia. The administration, with Daniels and Roosevelt at the forefront, pushed aggressively but unsuccessfully for a peacetime draft. The administration also failed to pass a new peacetime sedition law like the one it imposed on the nation during the war. In 1919 to 1920, Congress considered some 70 such bills. And once Wilson was out of office, the government released its political prisoners, including Eugene V. Debs, who was pardoned by Wilson's Republican successor, Warren Harding. Nonetheless, the nation emerged from the war to make the world safe for democracy, less free at home and less safe in the world. No wonder Harding's campaign slogan had been, "A return to normalcy." In 1920, FDR's backers tried to orchestrate a Democratic presidential ticket with the revered progressive Herbert Hoover at the top and FDR as vice president. Hoover was open to the idea, but the plan fell apart when he threw his hat in with the Republicans. Roosevelt successfully maneuvered himself onto the Democratic ticket nonetheless as the running mate of James M. Cox of Ohio. FDR ran as a loyal Wilsonian, even if Wilson himself, now bitter and twisted, physically and psychologically, was less than gracious in his support. Other Wilsonians, however, were ecstatic. Now back at the New Republic, Walter Lippmann, who had worked with Roosevelt on the Wage Scale Committee in 1917, sent him a congratulatory note calling his nomination the best news in many a long day. But the campaign was doomed from the onset due to the deep resentment many Americans felt toward the Wilson administration and progressives in general. After a crushing defeat at the polls, FDR went into business. Then in 1921, he contracted polio. He spent much of the next decade struggling to overcome his disability and planning a political comeback. Indeed, FDR faced two existential crises that were really one: how to fight the disease and stay politically viable. He bravely fought his condition, most famously at the spa he purchased for that effort at Warm Springs.